And to partner with missionaries. And so what we do with our faith promise is that we ask the Lord for a number to be able to entrust the Lord to provide this number as well. And so this year so far, we've been able to collect $3,440. And so we're really only about $2,500 and $560 short. So today is the last day. So I believe we can make it. Okay? I believe we can make it. Right, we're very close, but praise the Lord for it. And God is always good. God is always able to be gracious and to be abundant in providing for us. The next slide. Yes, and December 15th, we will have a joint service. Now, why will we have a joint service? Because what to follow after that is actually very important. We will have our congregational meeting. And our congregational meeting is a time in which we gather together first to give you a report about what has happened this year. And the other part is what we'd like to do in this congregational meeting is to share where we're going to go. Right? I know that all of you have been wondering, okay, Pastor Ron's been here for like almost 5 months and he's done absolutely nothing. Right? So here it is. Right? On that day, I will show you and tell you where God is leading us, how to go. And so please come. Right? Make sure you come. And you know, after a big meeting, I know everybody's tired, everybody's, you know, maybe a little grumpy. Don't worry, we got food afterwards. So we're going to have our Christmas celebration luncheon right afterwards of our congregational meeting. And so please register, and we want to welcome all of you come. And as you know, when we celebrate, we celebrate. There's going to be a lot of food, okay? All right, so you can't have food and community. Can't have community without food, so this is what we're going to gather together. Next slide, please. On December 21st, we will be doing a Christmas caroling. Now, why are we going to do this? It's one of the ways that we can minister to our community. And, you know, there is an assistant living close by to our church. And obviously, sometimes when you're in an assistant living, it's very hard to experience a holiday season because either your loved ones are far away or, you know, it's tough. So we want to go there and to minister to them by cheering up, by singing songs to remind them about the birth of Christ and also to be able to connect with them. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of this. You don't have to be able to sing to be a part of Christmas. I know this is weird, right? You don't actually have to be able to sing, but you know, all you have to do is just talk to people, right? And so you may not be a singer. That's fine. But we can connect to people and we can minister to them. And so I want to invite you to come join us on that. And please see Annie. It's going to be some wonderful time. As I said, you don't have to be able to sing. Don't worry. When we are caroling, we have a whole group of people. Don't worry. We can cover you. Right? But the key thing is for us to be able to connect and relate with people. And the final announcement, I'm going to invite Elisa to come up and share with us the financial report a little bit. Update.
All right, yep. Good. Okay, so that was the first time that I heard Pastor Ron make the announcement. It was so attractive, so entertaining, quote unquote. So what I'm going to say is kind of boring, but necessary. I want to give you guys an update for our church financial status as of all the way through the end of October. As you can see on the slide, we are about $55,000 deficit. And 2 more months to go. Well, actually, this is our beginning of December, so we have 1 more month. So I remember we mentioned that last year that it would be helpful if brothers and sisters be like a consistent or regularly offerings in a monthly basis rather than I know some of it would like to do it like toward the end of the year and, you know, give like a huge amount, but it's kind of difficult for us as doing the finance to do the budget on and the monthly expenses. But God is faithful, and for November we received a good amount of offerings. But like I said, you know, we have 1 month to go. But if I look back for the past 2 years, in year 2022, we actually ended with a deficit of $21,000. But God's gracious, and for last year, year 2023, we ended up with a surplus of $3,000. So we'll look forward to see what God will do for this year. And there's certain ways that we can do for the offerings. Next slide, please. I know that you've been seeing this one for many times already. So there's several ways that we can do offerings, whether either in person, by mail, or online. And there's other ways that you can also come talk to me. I can tell you. And toward the end of the year, I know brother and sister, some might have stocks or bonds that would like to contribute as well. So you can come talk to me or the church office for the details. And we also have a printout at the back that you can grab when you leave the after the service. That will also have details provided to you. Thank you.
This time I'm going to invite Jason and Winnie to come up and read the Advent scripture for us and light the Advent candle. Yep, and family. And the mic is over there.
Ooh, this is great. This is awesome. Okay. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Now, for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a hope that we all have purpose in our life. And as we gather together, we thank you for that it's so good to us every day and every year. And it's good news that we know you and we accepted you as our Savior and Lord in our life. And this is our strength that you gave us go through each every day, no matter we have ups and downs. But the most important thing is we all have hopes and something that we are longing for in the coming days. And we pray that you give us the love that we have for each other and also the promise that we know that you have prepared for us. And we thank you for all these years of protections and faithfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. And as we light this candle, we begin our Advent journey in the journey of hope. And we're thankful for that. It's amazing that, the two most important seasons of the Christian faith is Easter and Christmas. And as the early church father designed it, because it is such a important event in our Christian calendar and our Christian faith, that they use 4 weeks to prepare to celebrate Easter. And they use 4 weeks to prepare and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And so as we begin this journey, let us remember that when Christ was born, he gave us hope. Let us open up in a word of prayer. Jesus, we give thanks to you for who you are and what you've done. And God, as the song that we sang this morning, God, you are so good. And that is the truth that we declare. God, Maybe at times we don't feel that, but Lord, at least we can hold on to that truth that you are good. You are good in the good times. You're good in the bad times. You are good. And it is with this truth that we hold on to, God, and we trust in you. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence to come, that you will meet with us this morning, that you'll minister to us, that you open up our ears, that you open up our eyes, you open up our hearts, Lord, to be able to hear your voice, to comprehend your truth, and God, for our lives to be changed through and through. God, I pray for myself. May I not simply be a speaker of your word, but a doer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanksgiving Day is a very actually important holiday in American tradition. It's an American holiday, actually, and it is a holiday in which we take time to stop, to celebrate, and to give thanks to what we have. Now, we don't know exactly when the tradition starts. Some of us who was raised up here, you may have heard the story of the Native Americans and the Pilgrims, and then somehow they were able to share food together, and that's when it began. Regardless of where it started, the tradition is so important because it's probably one of the lesser commercialized holidays in the American calendar, except, you know, the day after, Black Friday. But Thanksgiving, it doesn't have that flare and, you know, sparkling lights like like Easter or Christmas. It's not as commercialized. Somehow, Thanksgiving always seems to be a time in which people slow down. They don't really go out. It's a time in which people gather together. They may travel far and near to their friends or their family's house to gather together for one big feast. And this feast is designed so that we can somehow take this opportunity to slow down, to reflect, to remember the blessing and the thankfulness of what we have this year. And so in our American culture, this is what we do every year. And nowadays, you know, we celebrate Thanksgiving with our friends as well. We call it Friendsgiving. And then we celebrate it with our family and we call it Thanksgiving. And so this is an opportunity in time in which we slow down and we give thanks and we count our blessings. We give thanks for the things that we have, the material things that we have, for the health that we have. As Christians, we also take this day to give thanks. We take this day to give thanks to the Lord for what we have. We slow down and we reflect and we ponder and we celebrate the goodness of God in our life. On this day, we slow down and we count our blessings one by one. We remember the goodness of God and how he has been faithful to us throughout the year. And as a Christian, we gather together as well and we celebrate and we eat. But this time of the year, it can be very joyful, but it also can be very difficult for some people. The holiday seasons often is filled with joy and laughter and excitement. But for some of us, the holiday season can also be a very difficult season. It can be a season in which we feel a deep sense of emptiness, a deep sense of pain, because we've experienced loss. Some of us have a hard time celebrating the Thanksgiving season because maybe we've lost a job. And if we lost a job, it's quite difficult to be thankful. Maybe we've lost our dreams. It can be quite difficult for us to be thankful. For some of us, it may be we are losing our health. And sometimes as we lose our health, it's a little bit difficult to count our blessings and to give thanks to the Lord for what we have. Some of us, we have a difficult time in this season because we have experienced the loss of loved ones, people that we will no longer see again. When we lose our loved ones, it's very hard for us to count our blessings. It makes it almost impossible because pain somehow has its way of numbing all of our senses. Pain has a way of masking this heart of gratitude. And so in this season, as we're experiencing loss and as we're experiencing the difficulties of life, it makes it very difficult for us to count our blessings and to give thanks to the Lord. And so how can you and I as Christians really be able to celebrate Thanksgiving? How can we able to give thanks to the Lord and to count our blessings when life doesn't seem right? How can we be thankful in the midst of difficult circumstances? I believe that you and I can be thankful because of this wonderful treasure that the Lord has given to us. I'd like for us to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. And let me read this for us. Verse 6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but his life is at work in you. This is such an amazing passage. I love this passage because it really brings a lot of clarity into my life. But before we dive right in, let me just kind of set the context for us. The letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Corinth was probably one of his more angrier letters. Just give you a little background on the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth is in the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth is a very prosperous city. It's a port city. And so that basically means that it's filled with trades and merchants coming in. And so they're very prosperous and very wealthy and affluent, and also a city that is what we call cultured. They are learned people. And so the church in Corinth were a church that was really blessed by the Lord financially. They had a lot of wealthy people in the church. They also had a lot of spiritually gifted people in the church as well. But the Church of Corinth was also very prideful and arrogant. They started arguing about who discipled who. There were church divisions, and people were beginning to take sides. And it was a mess. People were taking communion out of turn, because when they took communion back in the days, guess what? They didn't just eat the cracker and the juice. I mean, it was a party. Right, and so people were drunk by the time the other workers came, because they had the rich people and the working class, and the rich people would have party, eaten all this stuff, and got drunk, and by the time the other people came, they made a mess out of the communion. And so the Apostle Paul was very angry. Not only was he very angry, but there was a sin that was taking place in the church, and nobody did anything about it. In fact, they were just applauding it. And so the Apostle Paul had to write to the church to address this. And not only did he have to write to the church to address this, they would begin to challenge him of what right that he had to say to them. And so the Apostle Paul had to almost basically defend himself as an apostle of Christ. And in the midst of this, he also begins to share with us a little bit personal side of himself. Because in this chapter, what he's really talking about is his life, what he's gone through. Because in chapter 4, he talks about the mercy of God in his life. And if you and I know the Apostle Paul knows how to suffer. He's been flogged. You know what flogged? You know, they take a stick and they whip you 40 times. Right? And he's been flogged many times. He's been chased. He's been stoned. He's been run after. He's been ran out of cities. People try to kill him. He's suffered. He knows how to be in hunger. He knows what it means when people abandon him. And so the Apostle Paul knew very much this idea of suffering. And yet in his life, he reminds us, in the midst of suffering, I can still give gratitude. Because he tells us this, that we have this treasure in jars of clay, that we are jars of clay. Now, he gives this imagery to explain to us who Christians are. Because in the Roman world, jars of clay were basically made out of clay. And if you know anything about clay, when it dries, it's very fragile. Right, it's used for common usage. People put, you know, their spices, whatever, you know, nothing valuable, because some of the jar holes are really small, and you can't get your hand in there to get it out. Imagine, you know, putting your snacks in there and try to put your hands in. You know what you're gonna do? You're gonna break it because it's so common, right? That's how you get the stuff out of the jar. And the Apostle Paul equates our life as Christians as jars of clay. that we are very fragile and very common, right? And, you know, none of us here are movie stars. If you are, maybe some of you Instagram famous. Any of you Instagram famous yet? Do you have, like, a million followers yet? 100 followers? Anybody? No? Okay, it's all good. Then you comment. It's all good. Me too. All right? We're not movie stars in this room, right? We're not billionaires in this room. Maybe there's a millionaire in here. If there is, just remember what Elisa said. Okay? We're not that either, right? The world looks at us as very common. In fact, the world sees those of us as Christians as, you guys are dumb, right? You need a moral crutch. That's how the world sees us. They see us as common, as nothing of value. And also, we realize that life is fragile. Because if you live life long enough, you'll experience pain. You experience hardship. You experience difficulties. You experience things in your life that is like a punch in your gut, and you don't even have time to catch your breath, because that's how painful life can be. Because life can slap you silly and then come back for more and slap you silly some more. Because that's how life is sometimes. I know those of us who are young, we're dreaming, don't want to burst your bubble, right? You know, there isn't the plan that you have ain't going to give you happiness. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be hardships. And this is going to affect us, right? And just as jars of clay don't age well. And as you know, we as human beings don't age well. For those of you who are young, enjoy the days of your youth. Enjoy the days in which you can touch your toes. Enjoy the days where you can walk up the steps, you know, with a little more pep, and then getting up to the top of the steps without having to catch your breath. Right? Enjoy those days. Because one day you're going to be older, and you're going to have a little hard time getting up those steps. One day you're going to have a little aches and pains here and there, because we don't age well. But if you're Asian, you do age well, right? Because Asians, we get stuck at the age of 25 until we're like, you know, 70, and then we shrivel up to be a prune, right? That's, you know, that's how we Asians age, right? So we got like 55 years of looking good. Right? Praise the Lord for that. But we don't age well. As human beings, we don't age well as well. And this is exactly what jars of clays are. They're fragile. They don't age well. They chip, they crack, and they break. And the Apostle Paul says that we have this treasure in us, that God will put a precious treasure in us, something of common use. Because everybody in the old Roman world knows that to put something, your treasure, and you put it in bronze jar, because that will hold it and keep it safe. It won't break. But God chooses to put his treasure in us, people who are fragile, people who don't age well. And when life comes, guess what? It can cause deep cracks. Just as if we're not gentle in handling jars of clay, it could very easily chip or crack. And so, what is this treasure that is being put in us? It is a treasure that God has given to us. It is the life of Christ. It is the death of Christ. This is a beautiful treasure in us that has helped to be put into our hearts. This is the valuable, precious treasure that God has given to us. And he's given us this treasure. We're supposed to have this beautiful treasure deep in our hearts. And as we have this beautiful treasure deep in our hearts, there's something that happens in life. We know what life does. Life can cause cracks in this jar. I don't know if you've experienced hardship in your life, but going through hardship is very painful. There are difficulties in your life, whether it's health issues, whether it's struggles with community, whether it's losing your friends, losing your job, losing your dreams. You know, they don't just happen and they don't have an impact on us. It does. It leaves cracks. And some of these issues in our life that naturally we would think that it'll cause us to break. It'll cause us to shatter. Because when a jar is a clay, when there's an exert amount of pressure put on it, it will break. But the Apostle Paul says that we are like this jars of clay, but there's something special about us as jars of clay, is that we are a type of jar of clay that will not break. No matter how much pressure is exerted on us, we will not break. And why is it that we will not break? Because of this precious treasure that has been given to us. The Apostle Paul tells us this in verse 10. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The Apostle Paul says that we have been given this treasure, and this treasure is the death of Jesus Christ. What is so precious about the death of Jesus Christ? The death of Jesus Christ gives each and every single one of us who have a relationship with Jesus hope. You know, you can't put a price on hope. You can't buy hope. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you cannot buy hope. Hope is not something that is made up. But we have this hope in Christ, and our hope isn't a dead hope. It isn't a hope that is based on wishful thinking. Our hope is a living hope. And this hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that God has given to us in his death, this hope holds us together from shattering. Because when the pressures of life comes, when the hardships of life comes, it wants to shatter us. It wants to almost destroy us. But somehow, this living hope that we have is like the glue that holds us together from fully breaking apart. The older you get, you'll realize that life is hard and it's difficult. And we all go through circumstances and we really don't know how we actually made it through. I don't know if you've experienced those times. When you're in the midst of those hardships, you feel like it's the end of the world. But somehow we still get through. And after when we get through, we wonder, how do we even make it through that? How do we even survive those difficult seasons in our life? Because it is this glue, this precious treasure that has been given to us. And this living hope that you and I have, it is the glue that holds us together from fully breaking apart. Don't get me wrong. The hardships of life, it causes a lot of heartaches, causes a lot of pain, right? And these pain, it will heal. The scars and the wounds of our heart heals. But guess what? The cracks that the difficulties and the hardships of life doesn't mend. It stays there. And there's a reason why it stays there. Right? Take a look at verse 6. The Apostle Paul wrote this. For God who says, let light shine out of darkness, made this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. What the Apostle Paul says is we have this precious treasure, this living hope that lives inside of us. And we are this jar of clay, which is fragile. And when life comes, it causes deep cracks into our life. And these cracks, they don't go away. But did you know that when you put light in a cracked jar, what do you see? You see the light illuminating out of the cracks of the jar, don't you? And so the cracks that we have in our life, it actually illuminates this living hope that we have. And so the hardships that you and I endure, the struggles that you and I endure, they put pressure on us and they cause us to form these cracks. And as these cracks are formed, they don't go away. But the light of this hope that we have begins to shine forth. And some of us, we've gone through difficult circumstances and we're wondering why. God may not give us an answer for that. But because of the living hope that you and I have and these cracks that are there, this living hope begins to shine forth and the world begins to see this living hope that you and I have. Because when we go through difficulties and hardships and these form these deep cracks, when people who are around us, they begin to see this living hope that we have, this precious treasure that we have. Because guess what? When most of us as Christians, you know, we're not really good at connecting with people. we're not really good at displaying our faith very well. We usually keep to ourselves. But when we have cracks in our life, and we have this treasure that's this precious treasure of living hope, the light naturally illuminates out of us. So difficulties in our life, God somehow redeems it by helping us overcoming through it, but also by leaving this wonderful treasure so that other people can see as well. There's such a beautiful imagery, isn't it? That we are jars of clay, that as we go through life, we don't age well. We have cracks that's all over us, and these cracks don't go away. But we have this precious treasure in us that continues to illuminate because we have this living hope. I'm a person who is quite familiar with pain and suffering. I've gone through some difficult seasons in my life. I've experienced many difficult seasons of my life, of the dark nights of the soul, in which has formed deep cracks in my life. I still remember it as if it was yesterday. I remember very well, because on that day, we were at a honeymoon, and we were on a cruise to Bermuda. And as we were there already for five days into our cruise. And it was a great time. We were experiencing, you know, the local town. And after that, my wife and I, we began to say, okay, let's go snorkeling. And so we did. We sat on the beach shore, and we started snorkeling for a while, at least try to. And then we got back to the shore. And then my wife said, well, I want to go practice some more. I said, oh, yeah, go ahead. And so I was sitting on the beach, and I was looking at the beautiful creation of God. I was looking at the beautiful sunshine, the smell of the salt water, and I was relaxing. About 10 minutes later, all of a sudden, I heard this voice screaming out, help. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, it was like a jolt of lightning that struck me. I felt that something was wrong. And so I began to get up, and I started walking towards that voice. And as I got there, I saw this man coming out of the water holding a body. And as I got closer, I realized it was my wife. And so as they got to the shore, they were giving her CPR. Right? And at this moment, I remember I was praying and I was saying, God, if there was a time that you were going to do a miracle in my life, now is the time. And so all I could pray was, Lord, have mercy. That was the only words that I could utter was, Lord, have mercy. And so the person there was giving CPR, I don't know how long, maybe 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden the ambulance arrived, and we were in the ambulance, and the ambulance was speeding to the hospital. And as we were in the ambulance, I remember the only words that I can utter constantly over and over was, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. And then we got into the hospital, and they rushed her into the ER, and I said, okay, God, I know there's still hope. Right, I know that there's something that you can do. And so I just sat there in the waiting room repeating these simple words. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. About 10 minutes later, the doctor came out. And he looked at me straight in my face. And he said, Mr. Chen, I'm sorry. But we did everything that we could. It was on that day my first wife, Ting, drowned 5 days into our honeymoon. That experience left such a painful crack in my life. It was so painful because I remember countless Thanksgivings where I found it very difficult for me to give gratitude to the Lord. I found it very hard for me to count my blessings. I remember days turned into weeks, weeks into months, and months into years. Still couldn't figure out what was going on in my life. But there was something I learned very powerful through that season. It was this living hope, this precious treasure that God has given to each and every single Christian that held me through. It was this living hope that was the glue that held my life together from not shattering and utterly breaking apart. Yes, my life had deep cracks. I had more questions than I have answers. But it was this living hope that held my life together. It was this living hope that I had and believed that God was a God of redemption, that he will redeem this. I don't know how. Till this day, I still don't have answers. But I know that I believe in a God and that my hope is in him and that he's given me this hope, this living hope. And it was this living hope in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the dark nights of the soul that just pulled and held me together when my whole world was falling apart. And I learned this very powerful lesson that in the cracks of my life, God's light, this living hope that was in me, was finally beginning to illuminate. Because I know that when I walk into a room, I illuminate the living hope of Christ. When I speak to my non-Christian friends, I illuminate this living hope. That when they see me, they know that Ron is different. Because I have this living hope in me. And they see it. Not because I tell them, but because of the cracks that are in my life. And yes, you and I, we may experience some difficulties in our life. We may experience some hardships, things that we cannot explain. We may experience some dark nights of the soul and we don't have a clue what to do with it. You may even be in this season right now. And you may feel that life is hopeless. But I want to tell you this truth. That God has given us this treasure. That he's placed this treasure inside of us. And we have this living hope. And no matter how hard our life is right now, how difficult it may be, how difficult the season that we're in right now, this living hope is holding us together. There will come a time which you will walk out of this season. Because what you're going through now, right now, the difficulties and the hardships you may be enduring right now, it's only a season. You will get past this because God will walk you past this. And when you get out of this, the cracks that was formed through this, it doesn't go away. The pain in your heart will heal. But the cracks of this won't go away because it's going to be a testimony of the living hope that is in you. Let the light that is in you shine forth. On this Advent season, as we begin to ponder the first candle of hope, people often ask me, what does the word hope mean? I like to describe hope as waiting with expectation. To have hope is to wait with expectation. How can we as Christians have hope? We can wait with expectation that God is going to do something about it. And on this season of Advent, when Christ was born, that hope came. God did something about the pain, about the tyranny, about the brokenness of this world. He sent his one and only son into this world. And guess what? We're promised that he will return. And now you and I are here waiting with expectation. And this week, as we celebrate the Advent season, this week, we slow down. We wait. We can wait, even in the midst of the hardships of life. Because we have this treasure in us. And because we have this treasure, this living hope, you and I can wait with expectation that God will do something about it. I don't know where you are right now in your seasons. Because some of us can be in our great season, and some of us can be in our low season. If you're in your low season, here's the good news. You have hope. You can wait with expectation that God is going to do something about that. This is what you and I could begin to celebrate. as we begin to meditate and anticipate the birth of Christ, that we have this precious treasure in our hearts, this living hope. And this living hope isn't wishful thinking. It allows us to have the ability to wait with expectation. We can wait with expectation because we believe in a God that loves us, that will intervene on our behalf. It's just a matter of time. And until that time, we wait. And maybe we've been out of that season of waiting and God has already done something. Let the cracks of those seasons in which we waited, they're there. Let that living hope now illuminate it out of those cracks. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. You know, in the context of worship, worship in the big picture is always a dialogue between God and us. When we sing songs, we're actually dialoguing with God. We're responding to God. And when we read the scriptures, it's God speaking to us. And when we preach and we hear the word of God, it's God speaking to us. And we want to have a time in which we respond to God. Right? It's a dialogue between God and us, and now is a time for us to respond to the Lord. I don't know where you are right now in this season of your life. You may be in the season in which the light of Christ is illuminating in you. Well, let it illuminate even more. But you may be in a season where you feel like life has put so much pressure on you and you're just about to give and you're about to shatter. If that's you in this season, now it's time for us to respond to the Lord, to cling on to this living hope that we have, to cling on to this living hope that we have, and to say, yes, Lord, I can wait with expectation. So let us pray. Maybe just simply as a sign of you want the Lord to be present in this difficult season of your life, maybe just open up your hands to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm ready. I'm here waiting. I'm waiting with expectation that something's going to happen. And so, God, we come before you with open hands. In this difficult season that we may be enduring, we don't know why it happens. We have more questions than we have answers, Lord. And we don't know what to make sense of anything. But we know that you have given us this living hope in us. And because you have given us this living hope, God, we now eagerly wait with expectation that you're going to do something about it. And so, God, we open up our hands because we're saying, Lord, here it is. This is our struggle. This is our pain. This is our difficult season. Here it is. We're waiting for you to do something about it, God. Because you are a God in which we can put all of our hope in. And our hope will never die. And so, God, as a simple response to you this morning, we just simply open up our hands and say, Lord, we wait with expectation that you're going to do something about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is amazing grace. of you, if you know the next lyric, God, you are so good. You don't have to look at the lyric or you don't have to look up the stage. Just close your eyes and just think of just God's goodness in your life. And then just think of all the cracks that He had put in your life. Because we have this living hope in us.
Let us pray. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord look upon you in this season. And as we enter into His presence, we prepare our hearts to celebrate the goodness of God. We begin to enter this time in which we are powerfully reminded of the hope that we have in Jesus. And so God, we come before you as we prepare our hearts, Lord, to take the communion. We are reminded of this hope that we have in you. That it is this hope that we have, God. And that we're able to come to your table today. And as we take the bread and the cup, Lord, we cling on to the hope of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night before our Lord Jesus was crucified, He took this bread and then He gave thanks. And then He said, "This is my body which was broken for you. And as we are in the difficult seasons of our life and as life may be putting pressure on us, let us remember that Christ suffered too. That He suffered for us so that you and I can have living hope. I want to invite all of you who have a personal relationship with Jesus to come and to partake of the communion. Because as we partake of this, we're reminded that we have this precious treasure in our hearts, that we have this living hope. And so let us partake of the bread together to remind us that we have this living hope. After partaking in the bread, Jesus took the cup, and He gave thanks to it, And he said, "This is my blood which has been poured out for you as a covenant." And as we take this cup, we're reminded of the promise that God has given to us and that he is with us always. That regardless of whatever situations that we've gone through, the hardships that we may endure, the uncertainties of life that we may have, as we take this cup, we're reminded of the promise that Christ has given to us, that he is always with us. Let us partake of the cup together. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord turn his face towards you. And as you see him face to face, know this, that he loves you, that he will never forsake you, that he will never abandon you, that regardless how difficult this week may be, or the past month may be, or even the past year may be, or what ahead may be, when you see him face to face, know this, he is saying that I am with you through this, and that you can cling on to him, and that he'll bring redemption through this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming and joining with us today. May the Lord bless you, and you're dismissed.